What was our first Disney trip like without kids? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steven.
And we're finally talking about our Disneyland trip.
Yeah.
2 months later.
It's been a while.
It's been a little while. We've let it marinate, and I think we're ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
It was a really good time, and it was our first trip to a Disney park. Nope, that's a lie. We have gone to Disney before without children.
Yeah, we went to Disney World without our kids, but this was a very unique experience because we went a longer period without our kids and to Disneyland without our kids.
Right.
So
our first trip ever to Disneyland.
Yeah.
You've never ever been, right?
No, I've never been.
Yeah, same.
So I think that was like the interesting thing of kind of being kid free, right? We had like a kid free weekend and it was freeing in a way, but also I felt like we were missing something. Like there was always something that did I forget something?
Where are the kids?
Yeah. So I think that was like an interesting part of it because going to Disney for us, or for me at least, I get this joy out of watching, you know, the kids experience these, you know, these different things. And I'm there with it. And I'm like, you know, if it's Smuggler's Run, I, you know, enjoy the ride myself. But
Right. There's
just something about it that I enjoy watching them, you know, be amazed by the magic that is had.
And even just by like being there. Like when I think about going to Disney World with the kids, I think one of my biggest things was just like, we get so wrapped up in we need to do this new ride or eat these new things and go do all these things. And then we reach a point in the trip where we're just like, just let the kids lead us and we'll just follow them. And I just have a vivid memory of their two kids just like, it was late at night, it was Frontierland, and they're just like taking off, like running through like an empty Frontierland. It was nighttime. And that to me is just like Disney magic. And so it was weird to go on a trip where we don't have, one, we didn't have the like, we have to go do this, 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 and this. I mean, we kind of had things we wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
Weren't able to do all of them. It was out of our control, which typical Disney trip, right? but yeah, it was, we were kind of masters of our destiny on this Disneyland day. And we didn't have them to fall back on and be like, you know what, let's just let them call the shots now.
Yeah.
That was a little bit like, oh.
And I think that's the thing is like, you can say that it's because of the kids, we didn't do this, we weren't able, but you know, this was anything that we didn't do or didn't have a good time, it's all on us.
That was on us, except for Radiator Springs, which
Yeah, that was like the biggest disappointment for me because I really wanted to ride that.
That was like the one thing you wanted to do and we didn't get to do it, which was a bummer. Yeah. But speaking of the rides, I think that was one of the really fun things about our Disneyland day is we got to ride rides together.
Yeah.
Because if we ride rides that one or both of our kids can't or don't want to ride at Disney World, we have to do rider swap. And so one of us goes and experiences it, but we never actually get to ride rides together.
Yeah.
On rare occasions, if we have somebody that's with us that'll watch our kids, then maybe we go ride like Tower of Terror together. But this time it was like, all right, we rode everything together. Like we experienced that entire, aside from bathroom breaks, entire day side by side.
Yeah. No, I think that's one of the fun, that was one of the fun parts of it is getting to feel that date night, right? Mm. Like it was just us going, you know, eating snacks together. And I think there's that enjoyment of just, you know, the couple, the adults hanging out and going to do these things and really not having to worry about, because even when you have like a rider swap or someone, you know, we have family come with us and wait with them in line, it's still one of those things where we get to, you ride the ride, but then you have to come back to the kids.
Right.
So you're kind of rushing back. You're not just kind of taking your time doing, you know, every ride that we were getting off of, we were like, oh my gosh, like that's so much better than this, or, you know, oh, I like this part. Like we were able to just like, again, talk about it afterwards and we didn't have to worry about, oh, let's go get the kids.
Yeah.
So I think that's one part of it, like completely removed having the kids.
That was nice. But then also we didn't have to, typically like on a Disney World trip, we will, I don't want to say the word sacrifice because like we've ridden all of the rides that we want to ride. But when we go on a Disney World trip, we typically try to do rides that we can all do together unless they're really special ones that we really like to do. Like you love Flight of Passage. I love Tower of Terror, but we usually don't get to ride that one. Like I can't tell you the last time I rode Tower of Terror at Disney World.
And I think it's just more of a time thing.
Well, you know what? It was our anniversary last year.
Wow.
I remember. It was over a year ago. Because we got to ride it together. It was special. Because we had like a little date night. Remember? We had somebody watched our kids for a little bit. But what I mean to say is we will not go on rides that our kids can't enjoy for the most part. Every once in a while, we'll go pick a couple of rides that we'll go ride. But we usually try to do rides together as a family. Or at least rides that our son can enjoy, but maybe our daughter's not tall enough yet for. But with this one, it was like everything yeah. was at our disposal and we rode as much as we possibly could. And we tried not to do too many of the like family friendly rides. We not intentionally, but it was like, well, if we could do that, or we could go ride the Matterhorn.
Yeah.
Let's go ride the Matterhorn. We did do a couple, I think at the very end before we left Disneyland with Dano, because we were like, Dano, we've got like 30 minutes left. What are we doing? And he was like, you got to do Mr. Toad's. And so we did Mr. Toad's, which not a family friendly ride.
It's very interesting. I'll say that. It's like, I wouldn't say odd. It's just interesting that it's
that got green light lit.
It just the way it ends, like it's just a weird, you know,
it was,
story and you going through it. So,
yeah, not necessarily a family friendly light, but also like who approved that?
I mean, I don't know.
That's like a fever dream right there. Like, that was a very strange one. But then we did, I think Alice in Wonderland was the other one we did.
Yeah,
I think that was our very last ride. And so that one was definitely more of the family friendly. Like we were surrounded by kids our age in the line for that one. But yeah, for the most part, we just got to do like
whatever
we wanted.
Yeah.
Which was a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah. And I think it's not just going on the rides, but also just like maneuvering because we didn't have a stroller. I don't know if it was good or bad, but you know, I usually get stuck with the stroller pushing.
Thank you for that. I appreciate you very much.
But it's one of those like cumbersome, like just you have this tank that you're just like rolling around.
Right.
And again, they're, you know, the parks are built for it. So it's not difficult to move around, but it's just when there's a high concentration of people that it becomes kind of stressful. But I didn't have that. There was nothing attached to me as far as a stroller.
Right.
But if you're buying anything, you have to carry it.
Yeah, that I was not expecting because we actually had to rent a locker. We started the day in California Adventure and then we hopped over to Disneyland. And by the time we got to Disneyland, we had to rent a locker because we just had too much stuff on us. And you and I didn't really buy that much merch, but we knew we needed, or not needed to, but we wanted to buy things for the kids to take home to them. And then some family were like, we want the new sipper. And so we got the sipper too. And so eventually, like throughout the day, it was like, where's Waldo? But in reverse, we're like, we just kept adding more and more things onto us throughout the day. So we did, which was really nice because they don't have locker rentals like that at Disney World.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where it comes in handy to have those lockers.
That was really nice. And it's like right there close to the front of the park. It wasn't like, it was very well placed. I enjoyed it. But yeah, we did have to go do a locker rental just because we were like, it's too much.
But no. I think it was that was one of those things, like shedding that weight, you know, that extra care, you know, stuff.
You mean the souvenirs, not like the children and the stroller?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I'm talking about the baggage. Like now that we didn't have any of that, like that's shed as much. Because I think that was it. Like you just had your.
That was like second wind right there, was being able to drop all that stuff off. Because we didn't plan very well, like the park day. So we didn't have a good backpack to bring to the parks. And we didn't expect to need a lot of stuff at the parks because we were like, whatever, it's just the two of us. We can do whatever we want. And so we used like those little drawstring bags that they gave away at the con. And it just was like digging into our shoulders because we had like water bottles and sunscreen that we bought that was overpriced at the hotel and just weight, like unnecessary weight on us. And so when we got to take that off and just like run around Disneyland, we're like, yeah, it was liberating. I think
that kind of led into how irresponsible we were without kids.
we were so bad.
I think we're very regimented with kids. We're just like, okay, we got to do this, wake up, eat, you know, snack time and naps and all this stuff.
Yep.
And when it's just us, we're like, screw it, like yeah, we could do whatever we want.
And we did, and we paid for it, like that whole weekend. Like we were going to a con, which is basically like going to a park. We did not pack snacks. I don't even think we brought a water bottle with us. We were so unprepared.
Yeah.
I think we think that it's our kids that need all of this stuff, but it's really like all of us that need these things. And we just did not. We were like, man, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I mean, we survived. It's not like we had a terrible park day or anything like it was great.
I think because with kids, they cry on the outside. So when we get to the point of like hunger and thirst, we're just crying on the inside.
Yeah.
So
I did throw it, not a fit, but I did after we rode the Incredicoaster. I was like, I need to sit on a bench. Do you remember that? I was like, I need water and I need to sit down.
Yeah.
Because that one made me nauseous.
Nah, that was, I got hungry. I think, you know, that's my big thing. So I get hangry.
We ate a pre-brunch lunch at Pim's Test Kitchen. We had reservations for Lamplight Lounge, but it was like a brunch. It was at like noon or something, but it was a brunch. But we were in Avengers Campus. And so we're like, well, we could eat at Pim's. And we were irresponsible and didn't eat breakfast that morning.
Yeah.
So we ate a pretzel and a candy bar.
Oh, that big candy bar. Yeah, I remember that.
And then we carried it around all day because we were like, well, we bought this really big candy bar and I think we ate like two bites off of it. And so when we were waiting for our food, we ate with Dano and his family. I was like, do you guys want a candy bar? And I like from my bag. I think we kept like some of the pretzel. It was, but yeah, in terms of being irresponsible, we did not eat breakfast that morning. We were coming fresh off of Mos Eisley the night before. So we like went to bed really late because of Mos Eisley. And then did we even have intentions of being there for rope drop? I don't think we did.
No, I don't think so.
But just like we do any day that it's, or at least me, any day that's like a Disney park day, as soon as I wake up, I'm like, we got to go. Like any extra time spent getting ready or doing anything that's not being in a Disney park is time wasted. And so we didn't stop to eat breakfast.
No.
We just walked over to the parks and started going. And then because we had never experienced Disneyland or Disney California Adventure or Genie Plus at these parks, as soon as we got through the gates, we purchased it and we started booking things. And so it just got away from us. We didn't eat. And then we ended up eating Pim's Test Kitchen, and then we ate Lamplight within an hour of each other.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that was, again, it was just like we kind of rolled with it. Whereas when we do go with our kids, it's very planned.
It's not very planned.
Not planned in the sense that we know which ride we're going to go on, but we're very strategic on timing.
We have an overall itinerary. We got to make sure that
they're fed.
Yeah.
And we know that, okay, around this time, that's when we get, because typically when we go to Disney World, we'll come back half, you know, midday.
Yeah.
Let them rest, you know, in the room. if they want to take a nap, they could take a nap or whatever, but just like get off their feet and relax. Because I think that's one of those things that we learned very early on of our visits to get that that midday rest. Mm-hmm. Because whenever we come back, you know, we take what, maybe 2-3 hours,
yep,
come back. We're fully refreshed, napped up, good to go. And you see like the families, you know, arguing with each other, you know, because they try to do a full,
yep,
you know, full park day and they're getting spent.
And so it's a lot to do, yeah, that.
Well, I mean, and Tuesday, it's just, there's so many factors like the weather and, you know, the lines, like it could be a packed day, but you know, again, we've been doing this and it's like, I think this is probably the best way. Like that's like a pro tip to, you know, take that midday break.
And did we do that?
No.
No. Because as you're saying it, you're lying to yourself, because you're like, we go back to the room for the kids so they can rest. But it's for us too. Yeah. Because we usually do take a nap. One of us will take a nap.
Yeah, and it's like a false sense of like, I'm an adult. I could, you know, get past
it. We can get through anything.
Yeah.
But we do it for us too, because we're tired of pushing that stroller around and walking as much as we are. But we didn't take our advice this time. The other thing too is
it's one of those things where it's like, do as I say, not as I do type of thing, right?
Yeah. We did not follow our usual park day plan. We did not follow a typical like eating schedule. Like we were just all over the map. We were the kids.
Yeah.
At Disneyland this time. And we just kind of, it was a free for all. We're like, you want to go over here and do this? Okay. And we just did it. And it was great. But I think one of the reasons why we probably didn't go back to the hotel also is we had dinner plans that night with a bunch of friends. And so we knew we weren't going to stay in the parks
a full day.
Yeah. Cause I think we had like drinks with some friends before that too. So we knew we were only going to be there until like a certain time. So we only had so much time in the park and it was our only day in the park. So we're like, let's do as much as possible. We'll just pay for it later. And we did. But and yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that we didn't really even get to fully enjoy Disneyland. We didn't get to like get the full experience because it was like a very short. We had the Star Wars night.
Right.
And then that one day where we split DCA and Disneyland. So we were really cramming everything we can into like a single day. And we did a lot. I think that's one of those things, like we got to do a majority of the rides, mm-hmm, with those two, you know, half days. But to really give it its, you know, justice, I think we definitely plan on going back and, you know, taking our time.
And because that's the thing is we did most of the rides except for Radiator Springs, but there's so much more to the parks than just the rides. There's, especially for Disneyland, because there's so much nostalgia and so much history built in there that like we didn't really get to slow down. We were so focused on experiencing as much as we could that we didn't get to do like what we do at Disney World now, where we just kind of let the kids run and just sit back and watch and just take things in. Like we didn't have time for it, yeah, which is silly. I mean, you could make time for it, but we just didn't on this trip.
And I think that's one of the things that as a frequent goer of the parks, you really get to enjoy the park itself. It's because it's not just the rides. It's not just going like, oh, I got to go to this ride, go to this ride. There's really cool things in the park that don't have to be rides.
Right.
So I think that's where, you know, we missed out because we went so fast.
Yeah.
So.
But I think it was really cool to do it the way that we did, where it was the two of us. And like you said, it was like one big date night that was over an entire weekend, because that's rare for us to get that. And so it was really fun to go experience it with you and do the parks in the way that we did them and get to do all of the things that we wanted to do. So now when we go back with the kids, whenever that is, we kind of know what we can do with them and what we can't do with them. Death Wheel, probably not. Although, how funny would it be?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I can imagine just both of our kids and they'll be the polar opposites. One will be like clinging to us, like freaking out, and the other one would just be like, yeah, again. But we know those things now, and we know, and then we get to experience the other things, like in Pixar Pier, the little games and the just, there's more to explore that we didn't get the chance to do due to time constraints, but also we probably wouldn't have done them even if we had more time there, because it's something that we would probably rather do with our kids.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just some things that's like, well, given the choice of like going and playing the carnival games, I think there were carnival games, right? We kind of just like fumed right through it. But doing those things versus like maybe riding Mission Breakout again, I'd go ride out Mission Breakout again.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the route, the path we would have taken with the kids would have been different. Mm-hmm. Because even that, when you say, oh, we would have done this ride, I remember a couple times, you know, at Disney World or Magic Kingdom where we rode Buzz like two or three times because that was like all our son wanted to do. And you know, it was a good time. That's what he wanted to do. And he enjoyed it. So I think that's one of the other things is, again, we went and got focused on, okay, we wanted to go see all these certain things. But when we do bring the kids, we may see a completely different side of the park because they want to go see something else. And it's really just led by their, you know, them walking around and, oh, let's go do that. Let's, you know, let's try that out. So I'm excited. I'm excited to go back and check it out. I think the pressure of it being our first time, it, you know, seeing what's there is now gone. So right. It's going to be even easier to go with kids and have a good time. And because we're not going to be like trying to experience everything. We can't just let them go and let them pick what they want
to
ride or whatever.
And we won't feel like we're missing out.
Yeah.
On the big kid rides or anything like that. And we did like a little recon. We did some recon. How do you say that word? Recognizance. I don't think that's right. That's why people say recon, isn't it?
Maybe.
Probably. But anyway, we did some recon. We've done all the things. We saw everything we really wanted to do. Radiator Springs is still on the list.
Yeah.
But next time we go, we get to do that family-friendly trip, which I think is really fun. It's kind of like your first few trips to Disney World where you are still, because it's four parks compared to the two smaller parks. Like, now that we've seen everything that park's had to offer, every time we go back to Disney World, it's like, okay, we'll just do whatever you guys want to do, or the new thing. Like, we're going to go try to do Guardians when we go back to Disney World. And then that's our one new thing. For Disneyland, we've knocked all that stuff out of the way. So we're
not itching. Yeah, we're not itching to go do something. We
tell ourselves this. And then every time we go, we're like, we need to ride this and this and this and this.
The one thing, like, let's now just talk about Disneyland in general.
Okay.
So we stayed pretty close to the park as far as hotel. Like, we didn't stay on one of the Disneyland resort hotels, but really close because we were at the
convention. We stayed at the convention center.
So it was a short walk, but it was still a walk that was more than I wanted to walk after walking in the park.
Yeah, I think we timed it out to be like 20 minutes. So if you're staying at the convention center, it's about a 20-minute walk to and from Disneyland, which isn't bad.
No.
Because when you think about like at Disney World and taking transportation back, typically it's a bus. You're having to like walk. Out to the buses, which could be like a 10-minute walk sometimes.
Yeah, I guess
it feels
true.
Like it when you're tired and ready to get back.
I mean, the thing is like the trip, the walk out there, at the beginning of the day, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's,
you blink and you're there.
Yeah.
It's the walk back.
It's the walk back. It's just like, I'm done. I'm tired.
I'm so tired. Exactly. But at Disney World, you're having to walk to the bus station, which could take like, say, 5 minutes. But even when you get back to your hotel, the resorts are so spread out that it's usually a 10-minute walk. That's from true. Wherever the bus drops you to your room. So walking wise or like time wise from when you leave the park to when you get to your hotel room was probably shorter at Disneyland. It was just that we were walking the whole time. Like we had to get ourselves there.
You know, I don't appreciate you speaking logic to me when I am the one usually speaking logic to you.
I know. How's it feel? How do you like it?
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it at all.
So you literally put yourself in my shoes right now and walk those 20 minutes. But I know what you're saying. Like, it wasn't like a, oh, let me go drop this at the hotel or let's go hang out at the hotel and then come back. Cause it felt like a lot of sunk time.
Yeah.
But then because we didn't have the kids with us, we're like, whatever, I'll throw my fit on this bench in the bright sun outside of Incredicoaster. I picked the worst bench to sit on.
Well, that's the only one that was empty.
It was because it was the only one in the sun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel you. Disneyland was great. I fell in love with it. It was so much fun to experience. We didn't even talk about that. Like similar rides, like they're the same ride by name, but slightly different.
Yeah.
But they were better versions of Disney World rides.
When we talked to, friends of ours, that was the interesting part of it was like Haunted Mansion. That's the most glaring one to me.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed that you could actually see in the ride. Like that was my big thing is I could actually see. Yeah. I don't have like great eyesight. So when I go to, Haunted Mansion at Disney World, it's always like foggy and just like really dim lit.
Yeah.
And over in Disneyland, it was like bright. I could see like the walls purple and I could see more things. And yeah. I didn't know if it was just because it was already nighttime. So my eyes were adjusted.
Oh.
And going in or, again, I've thought about this. I was like, why did I see it? So like, why was it so clear and better to me? I don't feel like go into the hype of like, oh, it's new, it's different.
Right.
I was very felt critical, I went with my critical thinking hat and like, why is it? But it's, it was just like so much cleaner. I know it's supposed to be like old and dusty, but it just felt cleaner in there.
It felt smoother. We didn't get stuck on that Haunted Mansion.
No.
Which.
It did feel smaller. That's one thing it was like tighter when you would move around like the ride, but yeah, it just felt, brighter where you could see things.
I will say that my one critique of Haunted Mansion specifically was because it was brighter in there, I could literally see the walls of the room that we were in and I don't feel like you're meant to see. I was like, oh, there's the corner between like the wall and the ceiling. Like there's the joint.
Oh yeah. I didn't, I guess I was looking more at the.
It caught my eye and I was like, oh, we're in like a huge room right now. Like, are we always in a big room? I guess we're always in a big room. It was like the cemetery scene or something, but I could see past it. And that was strange to me. And maybe it was because it was nighttime when we entered the ride, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It felt brighter in there. And then just rides overall just felt smoother. Like we did Hyperspace Mountain.
Yeah. That was like probably my favorite one. Because it was, Star Wars themed.
Yeah, it was really great.
Yeah.
But it was very smooth. Like, we don't really ride the Space Mountain over at Disney World because it's okay. Well, because of the kids, but also it's like, it's okay. It's not Star Wars themed. Yeah. So maybe that's why too.
Maybe. But again, it's just darker. So yeah. I don't know on a normal basis if hyperspace has anything, any stars flickering or anything.
Mm.
But it's just dark.
Yeah.
In there. So it's just.
And it's like right by People Mover and Buzz Lightyear over at Disney World. So it's like, well, of those three, we're going to pick the two other ones.
And I think that's the thing too, is like, we choose to say, you know what? We could go ride Buzz or we could ride People Mover instead of waiting in that Space Mountain line.
Yeah.
So now when they say they're going to change it, they're going to leave, it's going to leave, close it down. We'll probably end up going again.
Yeah, we will. I'm sure we will. Or like as our kids get old enough or brave enough to ride it, then I'm sure we'll go ride it again. But yeah. We do visit Space Mountain through People Mover each time. But that was one of the nice things and just the rides just overall just felt really smooth, except Matterhorn. But I don't think that one's meant to feel smooth. But we learned the pro hack on that one.
Yeah. I mean, the cast member, you know, we asked them, is there any tips or whatever? And it was to lean forward.
It was right? Lean forward and grab the thing ahead of you like you're actually in a bobsled. He's like, don't let your back touch the back of the seat. And it was great.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, you guys picked the more sketchy side. Not sketchy. He didn't say sketchy. What did he say? The rougher side, maybe?
I think that's what they... I don't know what he said, but it was the left side, right?
I think so, yeah. But he was like, yeah, just lean forward and just act like you're in a bobsled. And it was my favorite ride.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was really fun. I enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah, but see, we're talking about all the Disneyland stuff. We also got to do DCA.
We did.
And we got to do the rethemed Tower of Terror.
We did Mission Breakout. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I think that's your favorite.
Yeah.
Over there. Or between Tower of Terror and Mission Breakout. I think you would pick Mission Breakout.
I did like Mission Breakout, which gets me excited for the Rewind.
Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah, Cosmic Rewind.
Are you excited or are you nervous?
A little bit of both. Like, I'm nervous because, like, all the videos coming out before, or like when it first came out, of people just getting sick. And I was like, oh man, I don't know if my little tummy can handle it.
Ooh, we need to pack Tums. Reminds me.
So, yeah, I definitely liked the way it was modernized. It was the same ride. You know, you're going up and down.
But the ride mechanics themselves changed because it was more of like a pull up instead of a drop down. So that it was like pulling you up to see the screens. I don't really remember it all that much. I just remember like cackling the entire time because I had so much fun.
That was the thing. Is like if it's pulling up, it's giving you that like weightlessness.
Yeah.
And so you just like have that, I guess, tickle. And then they're playing like the music and stuff. So.
Which apparently there's different songs.
Yeah. I mean.
Who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knew, but us. But that one was great. We got to do Web Slingers.
Yeah.
I was better than you at Web Slingers.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
That's why. But I think because I was sitting in the middle and you were sitting on the end because like literally I'm never better than you at any games except for that typing game that you and I did the other day where I crushed you. But games like that, like Web Slingers, like I think you had bad positioning.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me that. I mean, it was frustrating because personally, I felt that I was throwing web better, but it was just like a cool concept.
It was a really cool ride.
Without having to have like any kind of apparatus. But I think you could add those like...
They have
those little armbands to even up your points more. So,
man, what a workout that ride was.
Yeah.
That was intense. I think after we left Web Slingers, we were like, we got to go eat. Worked up a little bit of a appetite.
Yeah. One of the things that, I think we've talked about it before, maybe not. But one of the things I noticed, like I was excited to go see the Ventures Campus because it was, you know, again, we don't have it. You don't have it at Disney World. Right. So I was like excited to see it. But I was underwhelmed. I was.
Oh.
Because I think I've become spoiled with Galaxy's Edge.
Mm. Okay.
And this is where it's kind of that Galaxy's Edge and the Launch Bay Star Tours areas. Because Launch Bay is all Star Wars. And it is area where you could just like a park, you know, here's all things Star Wars. You could buy things and see different characters,
but it's like Star Wars branded stuff.
Yeah. And it's just, here's your taste.
Here's your corner.
But Galaxy's Edge, you are immersed. And that was my whole thing too with, and we'll get into that, but you're immersed into this world.
Yeah.
And they try to keep it as much immersed in that time and place
right
as much as they can. And it's a different feel when you go into that area, because it's all, you know, it's all Batu. It's not Star Wars, it's Batu. It's, you know, it's Galaxy, you know, Black Spire. And I was thinking Marvel Avengers Campus was going to be the same way, but it's not. And it's a area that is Avengers, Marvel, and has all these different characters come in, which is cool because you see these characters. It's, you know, it's like a theme park, amusement park. You have these characters there dressed up. You go take your pictures, but it, you don't feel like you are in a Marvel movie or in a, you know, one of those type of experiences. You're just going to the park.
Right.
So that's where I think it felt short for me, because I am getting spoiled with having this immersion feel to it.
Yeah, I get that. And I think it's hard unless you do something very specific, which I think is both like a triumph and a detriment to Galaxy's Edge, is they've pinpointed a very specific time in the timeline. And so they can only have certain characters there. And because it's immersed, like they can only do so much with it, which is what makes it great, but also limits them. But like with Avengers Campus, and I think maybe this is why they did this, is we've talked, I don't know that we've talked about it on the show, but we've learned that Disneyland is more of a tourist park. Or no, Disneyland is more of a locals park, whereas Disney World is a tourist park. And so in order to get people in there more, they have to change things more at Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think that came up when we were talking about the characters in general. Like there's a lot of rotation in Disneyland. And we were kind of like, why don't we get that? Why don't we get that? And like you said, it's because
people want consistency at Disney World because they're not going all the time. Yeah. Disneyland, it's mostly locals. So you've got to get them in there. You've got to bring in new foods and do Oga's birthday like they did and do all these things to just get people.
And they'll have it for a shorter period of time too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Oga's birthday was like 2 days. It was like a Tuesday and a Wednesday or something. Or maybe 3 days, but it was not very long. Like they'll do those little short-term things. And I think that's probably why Avengers Campus, they set it up like that so that they have the availability to like bring in a character for a few weeks and whatever it is that they want to do. But I feel you. It's not an immersive land.
And I think that's kind of what I was leading into was, when we were over there, they announced that Boba, Finnick, Shan, they're going to be in the park. And I wasn't happy about it. I mean, it's cool. I love seeing the characters, but I don't think they should be there because it is immersive. It's supposed to be during a certain point of time. And especially with Star Cruiser, because they want you to be immersed into that, you're coming into Batu, and you see these characters that are not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So it takes it away a little bit. So it's kind of like you want to be immersed, but then you're just kind of not. You're being immersed into play, but not into being consistent in that play.
Right. And so, hopefully that doesn't lead into them taking away that immersion and slowly just normal touristy Star Wars stuff creeps into Galaxy's Edge and it just becomes the new launch bay. I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're supposed to be bringing Mando and Grogu too.
Yeah.
So,
which is great.
But, I mean, so before we go too much, is that supposed to be into Disney World as well?
I don't know. I don't remember. Just Disneyland?
And maybe that was the intent because they're like saying, hey, because of Star Cruiser, because Disneyland doesn't have Star Cruiser.
Right.
And they could make it where these characters, you know, do pop in.
Yeah. I'm hoping that with Star Cruiser over at Disney World, they're like doubling down, quadrupling down on the immersion of Galaxy's Edge over there. But I hope that because they have that need to get more locals into Disneyland, they don't take that immersion away by bringing in those new characters.
But So kind of on that note, it's interesting because right now the key holders, which are kind of the annual pass holders,
yeah,
there's like a weird thing going on, right? They haven't been able to renew their key holder passes.
I don't know that it's that they haven't been able to renew it, because I don't know that it's been a full year since Magic Key has come back, or past like annual passes have come back. But it's just a very strange time in both of the parks, in that if you're an annual pass holder at Disney World, you can renew Disney, but they have shut down new sales of passes, yeah, either completely or to like very limited
types. But see, I think that's the weird thing is, like we were saying, Disneyland is majority locals.
Right.
So you're really screwing over the locals to go to that park.
Yeah.
Because the people that are coming in, they're getting the, you know, 1-2 day passes,
yeah,
just like normal.
And they get whatever is available that day. But if you are catering to the locals, but the locals can't.
You can't go.
Or they can, they have to pay like a full price ticket.
Yeah. That's not cool.
Yeah.
But again, you know, Disney World, I think their more slower model works out, you know, to its favor. So the locals can go and check things out, and you know, people visiting don't feel like they've missed out on anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've been seeing that recently of the, you know, the key holder people like looking at like, hey, am I going to be able to?
I did see one person was able to renew theirs. So I'm guessing they were maybe like on the early side of getting them, but I'm not tapped into it.
We don't go that often, so.
Yeah, we've been once. Without kids.
Yeah.
It was pretty great. But I'm excited to go back to Disneyland.
Yeah.
It was a much different vibe than Disney World. It's a much smaller scale. It feels more doable in a short amount of time.
No. So, you know, again, we laugh and laugh at, you know, we tease Dano, but it did feel cozy.
It did feel cozy. Don't tell Dano.
Yeah, don't tell him. But no, it was just, it did feel, I don't know. It felt
nostalgic, right?
No, I mean, yes, there was
but
that.
But it felt like, it felt smaller, but not in a way that was like, ew. Like yeah. It was, cozy is the only way to describe it, which is so frustrating. We should have like looked up other words for cozy.
Get the thesaurus out of here. But no, it's just like, there's that, it's just that feeling of familiar there. And I definitely see the taking this and just, you know, blowing it up for Disney World, like where they came from, like, you know, yeah, they had this idea, like, look, we're going to, you know, times 10.
Yeah. You want to see a castle?
You want to see, yeah.
Boom.
Like, boom.
It was like when you put it in water and it like grows.
Like the big sponge. Did, yeah. But like the trees, like the landscaping was, again, I think that's what it gave it more. It's like it feels like
it
natural.
It felt built in and yeah.
Yeah. It felt natural. And especially, and I think that's the weird part, because outside it's, you know, all these hotels and city living, but
like you can drive by and see into the parks,
but you go
weird.
In and it feels just like a, you know,
you're transported to somewhere else, and it's Disney and it feels familiar. Even though it was a different park, it felt familiar. We're like, okay, well, we know generally where the different lands are and what's in the different lands. It's a weird experience to walk down Main Street and be like, this is
the same, but not the same.
Everything felt like that, but it was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
We were totally irresponsible. We survived on snacks and just the will to get through the day and see the next thing, because our poor little feet having to walk back.
Yeah, I think so we got to enjoy the fireworks from Batuu, because that was like one of the things I wanted to do. But it would have been nice to have been able to see the fireworks from the front of the castle.
Yeah.
Because that's one of those, like, and for me, I really enjoy seeing that with the kids. I think that's like one of the fondest memories I have of watching the fireworks with our son, like the first time going, and it just, you know, hits you right in the heart. You know, watching the fireworks. And then, you know, that was back when it was
happily ever after.
So it was just like every, like the planets aligned, and, you know, seeing the fireworks with him when he was, you know, so little was awesome. We still haven't really had one of those moments with our daughter, because she was pretty much a pandemic baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, us going, we haven't been able to go as much as we did before.
Right.
So I think our next trip, it'll probably be the time that it's going to be her really paying attention to the fireworks. And
if she stays awake, because last time we went,
I think that's what it was, the last time.
We camped out a spot for like an hour or so, and she fell asleep right before. So maybe. But yeah, I'm kind of glad that we ended up having plans, and so we weren't able to watch the fireworks in front of the castle, because I think that would be a nice Disneyland first to reserve as a family. And then it'll be the end of the night, so we can all cry and then just go home and nobody else will see us. So I'm looking forward to that. So whenever that happens to be, we don't have anything planned just yet. We've got a few more trips we've got to
get through.
We've got a busy year ahead of us. But I think that about wraps up this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you are listening on your favorite podcast app, if you could please leave us a review. And if you are watching us on YouTube, drop a comment with your favorite thing to do at Disneyland.
Princess and Scoundrel is part of the Thank the Maker Network. So make sure you go check out the guys at Thank the Maker and Mike Forrester at Armor Party.
Until next time.